Fortunately for me, you know, my mother's who raised me. She's always been a very open and supportive woman. She's also into the arts. She's an actress herself, so she's always been open and tolerant of expression and art. So that's lucky for me. So I never had to personally deal with the "why don't you go out and get a real job" speech, which I'm very happy for.
New York's 42nd Street is not what it was. Like much of the city, it enjoyed a considerable makeover in the 90s, courtesy of Mayor Rudolph Giuliani's zero-tolerance campaign against drugs, street crime and homelessness, and the colonization of former no-go areas by the Disney Corporation. Now, the area around the Port Authority bus terminal is ringed by neon signs and billboard posters advertising the latest Hollywood blockbuster, soft drinks, musicals, and happy cartoon characters. It all ensures that the first impression of the Big Apple for the weary traveler arriving by Greyhound bus is of a promised land of excitement, opportunities, and overabundance. The froth and fairy tale of a place where dreams come true. Back in the 1980s, however, it was a different story. The only common link between then and now, perhaps, is the overriding impression that everything is for sale. But in those days, everything meant drugs, sex, and death. This was the 42nd Street Alicia Keys grew up on, and where she formed her initial impressions of life and the world. She was born just a block away, on the intersection of 43rd Street and 10th Avenue, in the Manhattan neighborhood known universally as Hell's Kitchen. Each day as a young girl, walking down 42nd Street to catch the subway train to school, Alicia passed row after row of pornographic movie houses, peep shows, strip clubs, and worse. Lines of hookers and their pimps sold sex on the sidewalk in broad daylight. As she grew older, Alicia found herself being regularly propositioned as the pimps and prostitutes tried to coerce her into joining their scantily clad number. Lunatics ranted at her, while teenage runaways stole bags, picked pockets, and begged for change. Used needles and condoms littered the street corners. Junkies and bums lay incoherent or unconscious in their own effluence. And yet, Hell's Kitchen was also on the edge of Manhattan's genuine theater district. The lights of Broadway shone brightly at the end of Alicia's street, and here was a world of serious plays with meaningful messages, of great performances, passion, and soul. Beyond the darkness and the degradation lay a glittering testament to the power of words and music, of entertainment, and the ability to do more than entertain, of singing and the stage. It was a world of both darkness and light. Both entered Alicia's soul, and if the one hardened her, stripped away her innocence, and made her face the world in all its complexity and horror, then the other shone like a beacon through the grubby night, showing that there was more to life than drugs, lust, fear, and money. It was the light world of entertainment that attracted her most, and from as early as she can remember, music was the most important thing in Alicia Keys' world. It was the same for her mother, Terry. A struggling actress and sometimes paralegal, Terry gave birth to her only daughter in 1981. The two of them looked after each other. Money was scarce, and they lived in a freezing cold apartment. But dreams and ambitions were prized above all else. There were jazz and blues records, a piano and sheet music, and mother and daughter would sing and play together to amuse each other. Fats Waller and Oscar Peterson were played constantly and were some of Alicia's early jazz favorites. There was no man about the house. Alicia's father was Craig Cook, a flight attendant who split from Terry when Alicia was just two, and through whom she has a stepbrother, Cole, who she adores and who is 9 years her junior. Alicia's father is black, and her mother, who raised her, is white. Yet she considers herself primarily a black American and is loath to reinforce the stereotype of the black man as an irresponsible father, getting a white woman pregnant and then leaving her to bring up the child alone. Alicia is in contact with her father and was aware of him while growing up, but he just wasn't around. Neither, a lot of the time, was her mother, who would be out working or looking for work both day and night. Alicia was forced from an early age to be self-reliant and independent, but she bears no grudge against either parent. Instead, she's grateful that she was brought up to be able to look after herself and had the benefit of a rich and varied community of surrogate parents and family members. Alicia stresses that her mother was never at home with other white people and always seemed to have more in common with friends who are black, Hispanic, or Dominican. Again, growing up, This mixing of cultures felt natural to Keys, as natural as the different notes on a piano. Alicia studied classical piano from ages 6 to 18, being particularly drawn towards the darker, more soulful moments of Chopin and Beethoven. Terry encouraged her, almost relentlessly, insisting that she concentrate on this to the exclusion of almost anything else. But her piano lessons always came first. Inevitably, Alicia frequently rebelled against such strict discipline, yet some inner determination, or perhaps just a natural affinity with music, always drew her back. She first realized that she could sing when she took part in a kindergarten production of The Wizard of Oz, aged 4. Holding the attention of a classroom full of adults and children alike with a tremulous rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, she suddenly discovered the power of her voice. Only just beginning to feel a sense of her own identity, Alicia Keys had found the one thing that she could do that would define her in the harsh, confusing, and often lonely terrain of childhood. Music. It was music that would guide her, that would save her from the dark, and that would let her show the world who she really was. Music was her own special gift, and Alicia Keys was never going to let that go.